be so blessed. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise Thee and love Thee evermore? Is it for me Thy welcome, Thy gracious enter in, for me the come, ye blessed, for me so full of sin. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise Thee and love Thee evermore? O Savior, precious Savior, my heart is at Thy feet. I bless Thee and I love Thee, and Thee I long to meet. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise Thee? I'll be with Thee forever, but never grieve Thee more. Dear Savior, I must praise Thee and love Thee evermore. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but magnify and praise Thee and love Thee evermore.
Number 257. For those who can, let's stand, and after the song will be led and heard by Brother Gene.
Loving Heavenly Father, once again we come to You thanking You for the new blessing into this life. But we know that You are the only true and living God that we have to call upon. We thank You so much for the many blessings, and we thank You more for Your Son that You sent into this world down that cruel cross of Calvary, that we might have the remission of our sins someday and be with You in heaven. We pray for this country, for this pandemic that we have going on at this time, that You will look down on us for mercy and put Your blessings on us, that we might go through this thing and be done with it in time. We pray that You will leave most of our people in a better position than they were in before. Amen. That we will look to You for everything that we should. We pray for Your wisdom, Your knowledge to be on our leaders of this country, that they too can look to You and get Your knowledge that will help us. Go with us now throughout this day and throughout our lives. Be with us. And get us over this pandemic. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Bless me now, my
Preparation for the Lord's Supper, listing number 588. Tis said,
the feast divine,
the bread, the fruit of the vine,
and saints commune before the shrine in the supper of the Lord. May we the Lord discern his death, our holy concern. We face in faith his coming yearn in the supper of the Lord.
Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
What Tom has read this morning made me think back. When Jesus gave the Lord's Supper, he didn't say, just remember me being on the cross. Because that's what the emblems really signify. But to think back, to remember about Jesus, that death on the cross was very important to all of us. But without him bringing the word to us, what would it have meant? So him coming and living a life here on this earth, not a pleasant, because from almost day one of the time that he became a minister, when he started his ministry, the Jews were out to kill him. So he had to fear for his own self, but not fearing for him, he was fearing for us because he wanted to complete what God had gave to do, and that was to bring us the word that he knew that we needed for salvation, to die on this cruel cross of which we will remember at this time. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you had for us, that you sent your Son into this world to die on a cruel cross because of our sins. Father, we are thankful to him for loving us and caring for us, that he not only taught us the things that you'd have us to know, but to die on that cross. As we partake of this bread, which remind us of the body that hung there, Father, help us to examine ourselves and partake of this in a manner be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Time, let's mark our song books at number 715. The song of invitation after the lesson this morning. 715. And after you've marked that, let's turn to number 537. 537. Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low, in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the grave unknown.
Brethren, the scripture tells us that it's a struggle to live on this earth, regardless of our love for God, regardless of our appreciation of what Jesus has done for us, regardless of our determination to do what His will says for our lives. It is a struggle to live here in the flesh on this earth. In Romans chapter 8 is our study today in regard to this matter. He assures us that there's a wonderful blessing that has come in our life. In Romans chapter 8 at verse 16, it is noted to you and me that He sent forth His Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Father. The idea of that is true in that regard in Galatians 4 verse 6. And in Romans 8 at verse 16, He sets forth, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So it is that the Spirit of God wants to call within us the place of God in our lives, Galatians 4 and 6. And so it is that the Spirit of God has come within us as God has sent forth His Spirit to bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Although there are struggles that we may face, He goes on to say, that truth is immutable and forever secure. Notice what He says in this regard. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also glorify together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Notice what is said there. In regard to our looking ahead to the heavenly home and the place of being with God, the idea is this will be nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. The idea of God praising us and helping that to be a wonderful blessing for us is worthy to be suffered as we go through this earthly life. Suffering of Jesus is sure to explain. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 7, it is noted regarding Jesus toward the very end of his life. And notice that how he came before the Heavenly Father in that way of prayer as he was there. In Hebrews 5 at verse 7, it is said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Notice that Jesus was not so willing and so desirous of that death at the cross that he suffered the idea of it. He suffered the words and mannerisms to the Heavenly Father to deliver me from this cross, deliver me from this situation. Nevertheless, not my will, Jesus said, but thy will be done. He wanted the Heavenly Father's will to be carried out in full and complete, and he did. But he did not wish this to be something that was just taken as a matter of course in his life. He suffered in his body. Notice what it said there in Hebrews 5 at verse 7 once again. Who in the days of his flesh, when Jesus was here on this earth, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him from death. He knew that his Heavenly Father could choose some other method, some other way, if he wished to do so. The Heavenly Father wished to choose the only method that for all time would be immutable in God's presence. He knew that man would never come up with the idea, never enter the heart of a man, how that God had prepared these things for them. And as a result, his son coming and his son's death would bring about the remission of sins for everyone that would come to him. Jesus was glad that that was going to occur. He was thrilled by that occurring. But it's something that he went through that wasn't a Sunday drive. It wasn't just simple as that. It was with bitter tears and suffering. Back to Romans chapter 8, now we notice the following of it after verse 17. If children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Suffering with Jesus Christ in regard to things that are right and righteous and truthful is what the Apostle Paul was doing in Philippians 3 at verse 9 when he said regarding his own life, that it was made righteous not by the deeds of the law, but by the faith that is in Christ Jesus in God, and the idea that he believed the Heavenly Father's will so that he committed himself unto death. When you and I commit ourselves unto the Heavenly Father to the extent that we're willing to go through whatever in order to maintain that that is true, that is righteous, that is faithful, that is the promise of the Lord. The aftermath of that will be rewarding. A glorified time will be after that time. We go through that suffering. We're going through it. We're going through it with determination. And as a result of that, we find ourselves going right. Now, what are the things that bother us so much? Well, he goes on to tell us there in Romans 8. Follow with me at verse 18. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, the man, the person, the individual going through life. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope. God made us in such a way that physically speaking, there are things that can happen to our lives There are things that we fear. There are things that we're concerned about. There are things that bother us and trouble us. And that's why a falsehood is told. That's why a false deed is done. That's why false ways are lived for a time. Because we want that way to be the way that gets us through, gets us by, gets us to go through that situation. And he's saying to you and me that this is not the way that willingly we would have not chosen this. Willingly we would not have said, yes, I want to have that nature. I want to have that way. When the Greek, denominational world came to this passage of Scripture, and many of them around it, they desired to take the word for the flesh, which was the word that was used in reference to their ways of life and their ways of doing. It's a way of porneia, the ways of the flesh. And he's saying to you and me that this way of the flesh is hardly the way we would have chosen. But because it is with us, it is a trial to us. It is a challenge to us. And because of that being with us in life, we find ourselves going to that hope that God has so set forth in his will. The hope that he gave to Jesus that he would bring him back from the dead. The hope that he brought in Jesus that he would restore him to his right hand. The hope that he restored in Jesus was the hope that you and I are taught that we can receive. That same hope by which we live. The hope of our salvation in sin. Wonderful is that way of life. He says there in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The ways in which we go are things that we wonder, how in the world can God forgive us of what we've said or what we've done, how we misbehaved, how we've been in life. And the idea of the sinful nature is the concept that denominationalism places to it. The idea of the little child cries is the idea of a sinful nature begun. The idea of the sinful nature goes on with our daily walk of life and daily trials and temptations that we face. As we face those things in life, we find ourselves oftentimes saying, I have given over to it. Why now then is God so willing to give me hope? Grant me hope. Because in that way of life, it can show to others and to Heavenly Father that his way of righteousness and his way of right is the way that everyone of great understanding should have and should follow. What a blessing it is to have this. Verse 21, for the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of wit, the redemption of our body. This old body that's so trying and so challenging to us because of the temptations to sin, temptations in every way of life that we're talking about, the ways that we talk, the way that we think, the way that we do, those particular things are of sinful and wrongdoing, and we are bothered and troubled by that being with us. He's saying that those things happen to those who were first converted to the Lord. They were the first fruits of this. They began this gospel message of hope and gospel message of teaching. They groan within themselves like we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. If we can find that way of control in our spirit, it will present to our body a victory. No longer with the way that we feel, the way we think, the way that we're doing, be the compelling thing of our lives. We will have victory over this in the body. Now, if we don't make that effort in that regard, we'll miss something. He says in verse 24, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it?" And you know we do. When we have hope that a cake that is cooking in the oven and the smell of it is coming out and rewarding us with the idea that this is good, this is going to be fine, this is going to be something I will enjoy. This kind of hope that I have finally becomes reality when it is cooked. If I reach in there and pull out the cake before the oven has completed its work and the time has gone by, I'll be disappointed with the taste of and the flavor of and the texture of. The cake is not done. But if I will wait for the patience of it, it'll be a rewarding thing. It'll be a helpful thing to me. And so I'll wait for that hope to be realized. And the hope of salvation now is his theme, verse 25. "But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." We find ourselves involved with the Spirit of God. And we find ourselves having that hope within us that sustains us to the patience that we have to faithfully follow the way of the Lord. As a result, instead of the sinful nature and the sinful nature ideals of the flesh, the ways of pornea, we're the ways of the Spirit. And because of the ways of the Spirit, knowing that the Spirit groans within us and that the Spirit groans within the words to say, and the Spirit speaks for us, that feeling that we have within our heart and the control that we have of our flesh is there. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He waits the time. He sees the patience that's there. He sees the effort that we're putting into the thoughts and mannerisms of our prayers. And because of that time of patience, he, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Thus he will finally say things that you heard quoted and cited many times out of Romans chapter 8. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." We look up and we pray to God. We earnestly suffer within ourselves, suffer within our flesh. But we pray unto God to be delivered from this. We pray unto God to be successfully delivered from them. We pray unto God and we know not how we ought to pray for ourselves. But the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are in that instance children of God. He wants to make that intercession for us. According to the will of God, he wants to do that. And he does that successfully. So that we now know. Paul didn't write there in Romans 8:28. Directed by the Spirit of God to write it. He didn't reveal it for himself to write it. But it was a matter of the inspired Word of God. And he says there, "For we know that all things work together for good." And he qualifies that by saying, not all things are good. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Does God want me to behave like this? Does God want me to use these words? Does God want me to use this mannerism? Does God want me to use these feelings? And we say to ourselves, no. God does not wish us to use these words. He does not wish us to manifest ourselves in this way. We want to control our words and our mannerisms of life. And it's a challenge to us. But we know that all things will work together for good. To them that love God and the called according to His purpose. We find ourselves here in the gospel of Christ. We want to be the called. We respond to that gospel of Christ. We too are having a faith confessed in the Lord. We repent of our sins, turn away from our sins. In that particular instance of time, we feel the strength within ourselves being baptized into Christ, buried with Him, and raised to walk a new way of life. And thus it is that we live continually by that faith. And then he gets on to the idea of the predestination that he had. He says in verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called. And whom he called, them also he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" All the way through life, without that knowledge, we're going through struggles. Struggles of the flesh, struggles of the tongue, struggles of the mind, struggles of the spirit, the way of life. But the Holy Spirit has come to our life. The Holy Spirit comes and bears record that we are the children of God. We've been confessing the Lord. We've baptized into Christ. We begin to walk that way. The Spirit of God bears record with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now then, what do we do? Does it leave us without a struggle? No. Did it leave Jesus without a struggle when he came to this earth to do his Father's will, seeing the cross up ahead, knowing what it really meant in death, and brought tears to his eyes and pain to his spirit? But he trusted him. He had patience in that hope. The Father had told him, as Jonah was in the belly of that fish, that great, great, great fish, 3 days and nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. But you'll come out. You'll come forth. And Jesus had a confident trust in that hope. And thus he went through what he went through for you and me. How thankful we are. What shall we say then? If God be for us, who, or we might add this morning for our study, who or what can be against us? I hope your prayers are more meaningful as a result of this study today and more enjoyable because the way that you live by that faith in the Lord, by that patience, is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. He closes out this chapter by saying in verses 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We cannot be thankful enough for this God of heaven who wanted to deliver us from the ways of the flesh. I don't know that there's anyone here today that has not come to Jesus. But as this song is sung, we pray for those who will hear these things by way of internet system to come to Him. Let's stand together as we sing together.
Will you come with your poor, broken heart, permit
chemical that was used, because I'm an old chemist in chemistry ways, and I knew what we did to clean things up, and I had no idea what it was. He didn't know exactly what chemical it was either. It was in there, but he said it's on the box, it's on the cover of the thing, it's there, and you can see it when you get in the building there. Well, I waited till yesterday afternoon late to come in the building, and I didn't smell anything, no Clorox smell. You didn't smell any Clorox mail this morning. And I thought, well, okay. What new chemical has it been, you know, since I was working, you know, like 1965, 66, that would be that way? So I walked in and there I saw the box and I leaned the box over and in the light of the light, I saw hydrogen peroxide. We use hydrogen peroxide in the beakers and in the test tubes so that it wouldn't be corrupted for the next set of folks getting their unknowns and those things to do the studies that they need to do in chemistry. And lo and behold, it's there. And we got it when it was in 2% form. You could only buy it in 2% form in the stores. And then later on, we went to 3% form. Well, this was about 4.5%. That was used yesterday. And so it's cleaned things and thoroughly did. And we put them under microscopes in that day and time to make sure that all the bacteria and all the things we put in there, tubes and beakers and everything, were gone. And it would be gone. And what a wonderful blessing that has been in this building, all over this building, and all of the filters as well. And what a good thing it's done. Thank you. appreciate the Lord. And God bless you, everyone, for what you did today. Look forward to singing this evening at 6 o'clock tonight.
Let's turn to number 475. After this song, James, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend.